and the Angels Were Silent by Max Lucado. Chapter 24, The Greatest Miracle. People walked by and shook their heads, saying, "You said you could destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, so save yourself, come down from that cross, if you are really the Son of God." Matthew 27, verses 39 and 40. Funny how taxes and Easter often fall on the same week. They did this year. I began this week with two major tasks: preparing an Easter sermon and paying my taxes. With apologies to the IRS, one seems very heavenly and the other very earthly. One minute I'm at Calvary, the next at the checkbook. One hour is reverent, the next routine. One reminds me of how God paid it all. The next reminds me of how I have a lot to pay. Both the sermon and the text preparation leave me grateful, however. The first for my Lord, the other for my three little tax deductions. I was 2 days into the week before it hit me. What an appropriate setting in which to study God's sacrifice. For if the cross doesn't make sense on a common week full of common tasks, when does it make sense? That is the beauty of the cross. It occurred in a normal week involving flesh and blood people and a flesh and blood Jesus. Of all the weeks for Jesus to display his powers, his final week would be the one. A few thousand loaves or a few dozen healings would do wonders for his image. Better still, a few Pharisees struck dumb would make life simpler. Don't just clean the temple, Jesus. Pick it up and move it to Jericho. When the religious leaders mutter, make it rain frogs. And as you are describing the end times, split the sky and show everyone what you mean. This is the week for razzle-dazzle. This is the hour for the incredible. You can silence them all, Jesus. But he doesn't. Not in Jerusalem, not in the upper room, not on the cross. The week, in many respects, is run-of-the-mill. Yes, it's festive, but its celebrations are due to the Passover, not Jesus. The crowds are large, but not because of the Messiah. The two miracles Jesus performs aren't intended to draw a crowd. The withered fig tree made a point, but turned few heads. The healed ear in the garden did a favor, but won no friends. Jesus wasn't displaying his power. It was an ordinary week. An ordinary week packed with kids being dressed by impatient moms and dads hustling off to work. A week of dishes being washed and floors being swept. Nature gave no clue that the week was different than any of the thousands before it or after it. The sun took its habitual route. The clouds puffed through the Judean sky. The grass was green, and cattails danced in the wind. Nature would groan before Sunday. The rocks would tumble before Sunday. The sky would put on a black robe before Sunday. But you wouldn't know that by looking at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. The week told no secrets. The people gave no clue either. For most, it was a week of anticipation. A week of festivities was arriving. Food to be bought, houses to be cleaned. Their faces gave no forecast of the extraordinary, for they knew of none. One would think the disciples would suspect something, but they don't. Corner them and probe their knowledge. They don't know. The only thing they know for sure is that his eyes seem more focused. He seems determined. About what, they aren't sure. Tell them that before Friday's dawn, they will abandon their only hope and they won't believe you. Tell them that Thursday night holds betrayal and denial and they will scoff. Not us, they will boast. For them, this week is like any other. The disciples give no clue. And most importantly, Jesus gives no clue. His water doesn't become wine. His donkey doesn't speak. the dead stay in the graves, and those blind on Monday are still blind on Friday. You'd think the heavens would be opened. You'd think trumpets would be sounding. You'd think angels would be summoning all the people of the world to Jerusalem to witness the event. You'd think that God himself would descend to bless his son. But he doesn't. He leaves the extraordinary moment draped in the ordinary. A predictable week. A week of tasks, meals, and crying babies. A week which may be a lot like yours. Doubtful that anything spectacular has happened in your week. No great news, no horrible news, no earthquakes, no windfalls, just a typical week of chores and children and checkout stands. It was for the people of Jerusalem. On the edge of history's most remarkable hour was one of history's unremarkable weeks. God is in their city, and most miss him. Jesus could have used the spectacular to get their attention. Why didn't he? Why didn't he stun them with a loop-de-loop or a double backflip off the temple? When they demanded crucify him, why didn't he make their noses grow? Why is the miraculous part of Christ quiet this week? Why doesn't he do something spectacular? No angelic shield protected his back from the whip. No holy helmet shielded his brow from the thorny crown. God crawled neck deep into the mire of humanity, plunged into the darkest cave of death, and emerged alive. Even when he came out, he didn't show off. He just walked out. Mary thought he was a gardener. Thomas had to have hands on, or hands in, proof. Jesus still ate. He still talked. He still broke bread with the Emmaus-bound disciples. Do you see the point? God calls us in a real world. He doesn't communicate by performing tricks. He doesn't communicate by stacking stars in the heavens or reincarnating grandparents from the grave. He's not going to speak to you through voices in a cornfield or a little fat man in a land called Oz. There is about as much power in the plastic Jesus that's on your dashboard as there is in the styrofoam dice on your rearview mirror. It doesn't make a lick of difference if you are an Aquarius or a Capricorn, or if you were born on the day Kennedy was shot. God's not a trickster. He's not a genie. He's not a magician or a good luck charm or the man upstairs. He is, instead, the creator of the universe, who is right here in the thick of our day-to-day world, who speaks to you more through cooing babies and hungry bellies than he ever will through horoscopes, zodiac papers, or weeping Madonnas. If you get some supernatural vision or hear some strange voice in the night, don't get too carried away. It could be God, or it could be indigestion, and you don't want to misinterpret one for the other. Nor do you want to miss the impossible by looking for the incredible. God speaks in our world. We just have to learn to hear him. Listen for him amidst the ordinary. Need affirmation of his care? Let the daily sunrise proclaim his loyalty. Could you use an example of his power? Spend an evening reading how your body works. Wondering if his word is reliable? Make a list of the fulfilled prophecies in the Bible and promises in your life. In the final week, those who demanded miracles got none and missed the one. They missed the moment in which a grave for the dead became the throne of a king. Don't make their mistake. I still think it ironic that the IRS and the empty tomb are saluted in the same week. Maybe it's appropriate. Don't they say that the only two things certain in life are death and taxes? Knowing God, he may speak through something as common as the second to give you the answer for the first.